We're here for the talk on hands, mudra, and reflexology and palmistry. The video will talk about how our hands play a role in our health and that of others. This year, we explore natural, non-invasive healing methods that can complement your routine and help you navigate stress, finding balance, and restoring your optimal health naturally. Now, I do not diagnose conditions, nor do I prescribe substance or perform medical treatment, nor interfere with the treatment of a licensed medical practitioner, professional. And it is recommended that if you see a licensed physician or a licensed healthcare professional for any physical or psychological ailment or conditions you may have, you need to continue doing that or seek help. However, I'm only here to simply exploring natural methods that we have been around for a long time, and out of curiosity, I figured this would be nice to have for topic this year. For 2024, we will change the way we do the podcast. We're now having them once a month, every Wednesday, every last Wednesday of the month. And we missed January because I was very sick, so we're catching up. So as usual, it's alternative healing ideas of pain-reducing methods. And just like in the past, we talked about nutrition, aromatherapy, Reiki, meditation. This year, we're looking at alternative options for that are well-known and endorsed by the medical profession. And we will start by exploring how we can use these methods for ourselves. Not necessarily, some of them don't require professionals, but others are professionals in the different health fields, because we will all talk about osteopaths and chiropractors. So these methods are safe and good for anybody. But I'm not a doctor, so I don't neither encourage or discourage you to use these methods, or especially not to drop any ongoing medical treatment. I'm only presenting basic ideas, right? This is important because I don't want you to say, well, I got sicker because I dropped everything because you presented this video, right? So those are alternatives for ongoing, complement your ongoing therapy and stay balanced and healthy. More and more traditional medicine does recognize the benefit of alternative therapies to manage stress and pain. So mostly the idea is to present these different options that may be offered to you. I have recently completed my end-of-life doula training, and one of the things that we are doing is, as a resource person, we're trying to find alternatives for people to manage their pain without being completely zoned out and be trying to be present. So consulting a professional healthcare practitioner is always prudent, and you can always talk to your provider about these alternatives and see what they think about it. But in the end, if you think it works, it will work, and if you don't think it will, then it won't. It's mind over matter here. Alternative medicine include a variety of healing practices that do not necessarily fall within the realm of conventional medicine. Many of these healing systems are based on historical and cultural traditions rather than scientific empirical evidence. The focus is on the natural practice that aims to prevent disease or return the body to health with non-invasive methods. Alternative medicines attempt to heal the body as a whole rather than exclusively focusing on treating the symptom of the disease. So we're trying to, with these alternative methods, to get to the root of the disease. What is causing the real issue? So I always like my example the best. I had headaches, and so I was being prescribed a lot of pills for my headaches. And the headaches were real, the pain was real. However, all I needed was a pair of glasses. Since I've gotten the glasses, the headaches are gone. So sometimes looking a little deeper into what is causing the pain and what is causing the disease in your body might be a nice way to find out what's really wrong instead of always masking the symptoms. So the alternative medicine, all it wants to do is look at you as a whole person. So if we only treat the symptoms, the cause, the root of the problem is present always. So there's complementary and integrative medicine. They're the same when they're used in conjunction with mainstream techniques. So the term complementary and alternative medicine is used as a general umbrella. They can originate in traditional medicine, folk knowledge, spiritual belief, or newly conceived ideas. Some overlap with mainstream medicine, but often lack systematic scientific study and verification. This is why we're not claiming that this is the end all of be all, just a way to explore what's available. However, scientific investigation into many alternative practices is vigorous, and the boundaries between alternative and mainstream medicine is becoming increasingly blurred because they're realizing, oh, okay, this works as well. If we take Reiki, for example, maybe 30 years ago, it was hocus pocus. How does this work? However, now more and more doctors working with chemo patients will agree that the Reiki does seem to have a relief of the symptoms of the chemo. So how much? There's no real study done about it. But the point is that for the patients receiving chemo, they feel less dizzy, they feel less nauseous, and they don't necessarily want to take more medicine on top of what they're already taking. So Reiki being non-invasive as a Reiki energy exchange falls within that parameter. So why is it not used more often? Scientists generally have criticized alternative medicine, claiming that only medicine that has been adequately tested is acceptable. But we're not talking about medicine here. We're talking about behavioral change. But there's also the fact that research, if there's no profit at the end of the line, then they won't spend the money to do the research, right? Chinese medicine has been practiced for thousands of years, and there's more than enough evidence in that culture that the products work, but it's not been scientifically proven. So therefore, that's why, there's a lapse there in the research. Now, I'm a Reiki master teacher. Hello, Sue. And I have worked with countless people with the chemo, and they've marked a marked decrease in their symptoms, right? So some hardly suffer any symptoms at all. So where are we talking about Reiki? Because Reiki is done through the hands, right? We send the energy that we channel from the source, whatever that source is. For some people, it's God. For other people, it's the universe. But we're channeling from a source that is higher than ourselves, and we're channeling this energy to the person that requests it. So the options are there to explore, right? And that's what we're doing. There's a growing trend, a growing number of traditionally trained physicians practice integrative medicine today. The use of alternative medicine is developing countries. Is significantly increasing. Complementary therapies are often used in palliative care and by practitioner attempting to manage chronic pain in patient. So the vast majority of alternative care therapies are considered to be safe and effective because you don't ingest anything, right? It's in the meditation, it's in the energy exchange, it's in changing your state of mind. So we'll be addressing the safe and effective ones. The complementary and alternative therapies are classified into five major groups. There's the whole medical system. Those will include the traditional Chinese medicine, natural therapy, homeopathy, and Ayurveda. So those are complete systems that are being used by different other cultures. Yes. Those are a vast system. And we will be touching on naturopathy and homeopathy while we talk about the second major group, biology-based practices. They use substance found in nature, such as herbs, food, vitamins, and natural substances, which some of it fall under the traditional medicine or the Ayurveda. We will talk also about some of those on June 26 when we cover the herbology and flower essence. systems that are well known around the world, like back flowers, for example. And everybody knows that you can take vitamins and natural supplements to complement your deficiency either in your diet or that your body has trouble, you know, producing. So the mind-body medicine is a holistic approach exploring the interconnection between the mind, the body, and the spirit on the premise that the mind can affect bodily function and symptoms. So we'll talk more in details about this when we talk about the holistic medicine. I think that under this category, I would fit the podcast also of movement therapy, music and dance and arts. So, you know, I don't need to be a doctor to tell you that dance, music, arts are a way of expressing what it may be trapped inside of you, right? They won't interfere with your medical regimen, but there could be something that could ease what is causing you stress or what's been bugging you down with your emotional state. And then we will also talk about hydrotherapy. I'll have interesting stories on that one. We will also talk about manipulative and body-based practices such as acupuncture, acupressor, and massage, and chiropractors and osteopathic manipulation. Energy medicine deals with verifiable energy fields, but will explore things like color therapy. And if you're interested in Reiki, I already have a podcast on Reiki, so you can look at that one. The complete schedule of our podcasts for the year are always on our website at sonjaroy.com under the group activities. So if there's a special topic that interests you, then we'll see you there. Now, our first topic of the year is the hands. The hands are vital to us. We eat, we get dressed, we open doors, we greet people, we shake hands. We invite people to go. We hold the door for someone, right? Our hands are with us at all times. And our hands are a way that with which we communicate. Holding hands, touching someone, or even sign language. Literally communicating with your hands. So how else can taking care of our hands improve our health in general, you ask? Well, take a look at your hands, right? In what shape are they? Are they dry, cracked, soft, plump, swollen? I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia in 2005. And my hands sometimes would not function. They were so swollen. So I had to start taking care of my hands. Because without my hands, I couldn't hold a knife to cook in the kitchen. And I couldn't hold things and carry them in the house. So that made me very aware that... there are certain parts of our bodies that we don't see, right? Our heart, our lungs, and we still have to take care of those. But how come we're not taking care of our hands? So one of the techniques that works really well with the hands and looking after a hand is reflexology. It's a natural healing method based on the principle that there are reflexes in the hands and the feet, which corresponds to every part, gland, organs of the body. So the technique involves applying physical pressure, right? So something like this, and on the feet or the hands with, that is, each area is specific and relates to another part of our body. So the thumbs, the fingers, and the hand techniques without the use of oil or lotion. Right, so there's if you're saying, well, I don't like the smell of oils, you can do the reflexology without them, right? Talcum powder is sometimes used to enhance the friction, but you can use essential oil if you wish, but it's not necessary. Reflexologists believe that the blockage in the energy field, invisible life force, or the chi, or the ki, can prevent healing. And the hands are connected to the meridians that travel through our bodies. So as we're activating these centers in our hands and our fingers, we're also activating the meridian energy and unblocking these energy that are unable to travel through these meridians. Meridians are like the highway of energy. So imagine if all of a sudden the highway is blocked. Now, if a lot of us have been stuck in traffic for one accident and we get delayed for hours and everything else is kind of an aftershock of this accident. We're late for our meetings, we're late for work, we're late picking up the kids, and it just unfolds that way, right? Well, your body has these highways, these meridians, and they have to be kept clear and circulating. So the energy needs to move where it needs to go. So practitioners aim to unblock this energy to relieve the stress and the pain in other parts of our body through the manipulation of our hands or feet. Now, many civilizations have practiced reflexology. So this is interesting to know that it just doesn't come from one place. And I've said before that if more than one culture is validating a truth or validating a practice, it must mean that it has base and ground somewhere, even though we may not have the research in this day and age. Knowing that reflexology was practiced amongst ancient Egyptian, but also in Asia, in Europe, Africa, and North America. The most common theory is that the earliest form of reflexology originated from China about 5,000 years ago, and the technique then spread through India, Japan, and throughout Asia. But how did it ever get to Egypt and in Africa or other parts? It might be that their own medicinal background encouraged the care of reflexology. So reflexology is a natural healing art based on the principle that they are mapped in our hands that corresponds to different parts of our bodies. And they affect glands and organs, but they, by applying this pressure, either to, we're talking about hands today, but the reflexology does apply to hands and feet, utilizing a technique, right? And this manipulation stimulates this flow of energy. So practitioners say that while doing that, it does relieve stress. Now, if you've ever been to a reflexologist, someone that will massage your hands and feet, you will feel this calming effect. Now, some people push that into the category of, well, yeah, you know, I'm taking time out of my day, I'm sitting in this chair, someone is massaging me, so I automatically relax. But just sitting in a chair doesn't calm you down normally. So it's the combined fact that this action of massaging your hands and reflecting the energy and clearing your chi is stimulating the nerves in the body and encouraging this flow. And this flow of energy also affects the flow of the blood. So the reflexologist divides the body into 10 equal vertical zones, with 5 on the right and 5 on the left. The properly applied reflexology can help so many symptoms, including allergies, stress, back pain, chronic bowel syndrome, and chronic fatigue. So anybody who has been trained in doing reflexology will say that reflexology helped these different things. A treatment usually involves applying pressure to a specific area of the hands or the feet using a bent thumb, and implements also such as the end of a pencil to really pinpoint and put some actual pressure on a specific point. Now, reflexology involves the practice of specific area, and these areas are predetermined. So everybody's have the same specific organs or specific glands in the same area of their hands or their feet. They can vary slightly from person to person. However, the chart is based on the sources, many sources put together, and the information is obviously not a cure, but a method of relaxation. Now, in Reiki, we say that we don't cure people, because we can't say that in Canada. However, we do say that the Reiki helps you achieve a state of relaxation. And when your body is finally relaxed and there's an absence of stress, your body is a self-regulating machine that will regulate itself back to a level of balance. So reflexology in the same go does the same thing, right? So by stimulating these reflex points that they're called, by a massage, we are going to improve our well-being. Now, this is something you can do on your own. You can put some cream on your hands and then start applying pressure on your fingers and your hands by yourself. So someone who looks after their hands, right, is helping their entire body. Now, the type of manipulation is especially effective for people who work with their fingers, such keyboards and mobile phones and, you know, games. The method will help free up the accumulated energy and stress that is in your hands. In the left palm, we have the sinus, the brain, the head, the pituitary, the neck, the throat, the hypothalamus, the pineal gland, the head spine, the lymph bronchial, the thyroid, the diaphragm, the adrenal, the stomach, the pancreas, the kidney, the uterus, the prostate, the fallopian tubes, the groin, the ovaries or testicles, bladder, the sigmoid colon, the intestine, the solar plexus, the spleen, the lung, the breast, the heart, the shoulder, the arms, the eyes, and the ears. However, specifically to the left palm, up in the sigmoid colon and the spleen. So if you're massaging specifically the left side in the right spot, you will get these different organs. Now, the left palm down, meaning the top of your hand, includes your spleen, your stomach, your pancreas, your knee, leg, hip, lower back, hip, sciatic, pelvic area. And again, because it also covers the base of your hand, you have the ovary, testicles, fallopian tubes, groin, uterus, prostate, spine. There's the diaphragm, thyroid, spine, the lymph bronchial. So your hand is basically your link to your entire body. And for the right palm, pretty much everything repeats except that the gallbladder, the liver, and the sphincter are in the right palm. And in the front of the hand, there's the gallbladder and the liver. So massaging both hands equally is beneficial because some of the organs are only located on one hand and not both. So, one of the things you can do with reflexology is pinching the tip of the fingers on each hand. Just a pinching, right? And we do this for both hands. Then we can pinch the side of each finger, the sides. And you can pinch all the way down. You can rub the base of each finger with the thumb. And you can massage the top of your hand with your thumb. And then you can massage the inner palm. You can do this in a meeting. You can do this if you're a passenger in the bus. You can do this anywhere, right? You can do this while watching TV. It doesn't require a lot of intention or a lot of time or a lot of effort. Taking care of your hands and making sure that your fingers are and your hands are open, flexing, and not swollen means that the internal organs in your body are also aligning with that. Now, something else that, and you know, it doesn't hurt to go see a reflexologist. It's a beautiful time and beautiful gift for yourself. Very important step in self-care. And it's not something that's usually extraordinarily expensive, so it's usually quite affordable. But we can't go see a reflexologist every day. We can take care of ourselves by massaging our hands, right? Now, another thing that we can do with the hands are mudras. The hands are the richest tool that the human body possesses. And the mudras are a form of yoga that uses only the hands positions. In the book that I wrote on the 13 chakras, especially the deluxe version, I put pictures of the different mudras. There are books out there about mudras, and a good yoga teacher will know specific hand mudra position. They're usually aligned with a certain chakra. So while you are working with your hands doing different positions, you are working your chakras, your energy center in your body, moving this energy, unblocking any blockages. You can practice mudras twice a day while meditating. Each position will be associated to a state or a chakra. So you can go through several mudras or holding a single position from 1 to 15 minutes. Personally, when I'm meditating, I like to make a variance of different hands mudra so that I'm able to focus on my part of my body that seems to be, I don't know, not calm, not balanced, right? So these can vary from day to day, but it helps us understand what's going on inside. So there's a part of us that, instead of ignoring the symptoms, instead of ignoring what's coming to the surface, we acknowledge what's coming to the surface and we're working with it. And this time of the year, we use the 45 days before Easter to do a fasting. So we are eating fruits and veggies for 45 days. We're foregoing caffeine, sugar, and if you were to drink alcohol, you let go of these things, right? And the fact that you're not eating the sugar or you're not having the caffeine brings up the emotion that you would suppress with the sugar or the caffeine or the drugs or the cigarettes or the alcohol or whatever it is that you're using to cope. And so every morning, these emotions that have been suppressed for maybe a while are coming to the surface. And it's interesting because I do this with a group of people and they're like, well, I don't know, I really, really wanted a coffee. Okay, I said, that's fine. And they said, well, I didn't take it. Well, that's great because we're trying not to do that for 45 days. But I said, what's the emotion? And they're like, I don't know. I was just feeling out of sorts. I'm feeling all twisted inside, but I don't know. I can't name the emotion. So the idea of meditating with the mudras is going through maybe the series of mudra to go through all the chakras and see which one is the one that finally feels like something opens and something is circulating anew. And then you can take wherever the chakra that is blocked and analyze, okay, so what is that? For example, let's say that it's through your mudra meditation, what you experience is your solar plexus. Sorry. Your solar plexus is the one that seems to be churning and turning upside down and there's butterflies in there and there's a lot of action going on. While you're unlocking the solar plexus, then you can examine what is the solar plexus all about. Solar plexus is about your intuition, yourself, your gifts, your talent, your self-esteem. This is what is all contained within your solar plexus. You have to examine some more. So which one of those things is the one that is being turned upside down? What am I trying to suppress? What am I trying to ignore? Mudras are a great way to channel this energy to a specific area. You don't need to be a Reiki practitioner to practice mudras. Anyone who has hands can practice mudras. So your hands are your messengers. They help you communicate with the rest of your body. They allow you to understand where the energy is not flowing. Now, we are using our hands as instruments to communicate. We communicate through our handwriting. We communicate by writing texts, by typing messages and sending emails. Our hands also, through kinesiology, are telling us messages. For those of you who don't know what kinesiology is using the hand or any part of your body and feeling a small resistance and then saying, for example, I am Sonia, and my body responds, yes, I am. However, if I ask my body, I am George, I'm not George. And so our body can also use this technique, naturopath use this technique to let us smell coffee and see how our body reacts to coffee. And then they can test different allergens that way. So we can use the whole arm or we can just use one of the fingers in the hand. But through this testing, our hands are still telling us what's going on inside. You can reveal your very internal nature and your aspirations and goals. They reveal a lot about your nature and your emotional states. So one of the ones that we'll explore is kinesiology, an alternative medicine method that provides feedback through the testing and it helps us determine the functional status of our bodies. Some chiropractor use that method. They make you touch the back of your head or the back of your neck or your shoulders, and then they test to see, okay, so is this where the adjustment is required? It's also applied in psyche. Psyche uses kinesiology to test your response to your subconscious. What is residing in your subconscious? What are the beliefs that are you hosting inside your body? And those beliefs are affecting you in your everyday life or even sabotaging you. Some of those beliefs can be quite old. It could be someone when you were in second grade that said you'll never be good at math, and you believe them. And that becomes part of your belief system. And so it's integrated inside of you. And for real, you spent your entire life struggling with math, because that even if you're trying really hard, there's a sabotaging belief inside of your subconscious saying, you'll never be good. No matter what you do, you'll never be good. So with Psyche, we use the hands to test these different beliefs in order to transform them. And so where we can say, I'm good at math. I'm learning math and I have no difficulty. Or we change this belief to something that you want instead of the sabotaging one. The practice is a therapeutic tool of muscle testing, and it provides you direct feedback. So it's really, when I'm using this method, it's really, really fun, because people are like, well, that's not my answer, but that's the answer that is lodged in your subconscious or inside your body, right? It's a part of a holistic approach that aims at improving through this muscle testing, the nerve function, the immune system, the digestive system, the internal organs function. Eastern ideas of the meridian energy channels, as well as acupuncture, have incorporated applied kinesiology into their practice. Physiological reaction to chemical, including those associated to different nutrients, can also be tested. And then we can do the applied kinesiology, or we can do a blood test. But in the end, we will get the same results, which is what it's really interesting. Our body wants to talk to us and it wants to communicate with us. And our hands are the most direct approach to get to know what's happening under our skin. Applied kinesiology is different than kinesiology, which a scientific study of humans and animal movement, right? So kinesiology is about performance and functions of biomechanic, anatomy, physiology, psychology, and neuroscience. But applied kinesiology was actually developed by a chiropractor named George G. Goodhart. And he was from 1918 to 2008. His publication, collectively known as Applied Kinesiology Research Manual, formed the foundation of the practice. So it's based on an actual doctor that developed this method, right? And applied kinesiology holds that a weakness in a muscle has a corresponding weakness in an organ or belief system. And the idea is to treat the muscle and strengthening it so it improves the condition of the organ. So, or the change in the belief. And then once the belief is changed, there's nothing else that is required. Now, I don't know about if you knew this, because especially the younger people, they don't write anymore, right? We type emails, we type messages, we type everything. Everything is, you end in university. That was quite an issue for me because I didn't have a computer. I was too poor to have a computer at the time. And I had to go into the library and wait in line for a computer to be free for me to type my, you know, my homework or my reports and my presentations. We have lost the heart of handwriting. I was watching a comic the other day, and she was saying, you know, don't worry about the new millennials. If they take over the world, we can take it back. We just have to put our plans on the napkin and use cursive writing. I was laughing because that's a problem I face with my own children. They can't read cursive. They don't understand my handwriting. So I have to write in block letters for them to be able to read what I'm trying to pass the message. Unless it's text, then it's fine, right? So handwriting used to tell a lot about an individual. They use it can tell you about your personality, the way you write your letters, the way you form your words, the way you cross your T's. Even then, it talks about you, a person, your personality, and it reveals so much. So I guess if you want to keep that a secret, keep on typing. But it's very interesting that there used to be people who were in charge of interviews in big companies. And part of their role was to do the handwriting analysis because they were looking for specific personalities and they could tell from the handwriting, who could that be? When I was young, my father sat me down and made me do A's and B's and C's until they looked perfect. The reason behind that was that my father felt if you take the time to write a message or a letter to someone, it should be readable. Everybody should be able to read what you took the time to write. So apply yourself, put your time into your handwriting. So the hands have consistently been talking to us, talking about us, describing who we are. And it's fascinating to see that our hands are the gateway for our inner self to come out into the outer world. Now, I'm not saying that we're gonna start handwriting again. However, if you want to see if that's true, write a letter. Right, it has to be a long enough sample so that you recognize the different important parts. And I'm pretty sure that if you research this on the internet, or you can buy a book on handwriting, and you can compare it. I've done the test, and I'm like, yep, it's me. It's who I am. Another one that's very interesting about our hands that speaks to us is the palmistry. So the lines in your hands. The lines in your hands tell us about who we are. It's an ancient art. And it's using some unique lines and also the bumps in our hands, the formation of our fingers. And it's an art of analyzing the physical feature along with the lines to interpret personality characteristic and predict what is in store for us. Now, how would that work, right? Some of you are like, oh, come on. Why would that work, Sonia? Because your fingerprints are unique. They belong only to you. Yes. So if you didn't know this, your fingerprints are yours and yours alone. This is why they're being used in crimes to figure out who's committed this crime, because no one else will have the same exact fingerprint as you. So these lines, therefore, are more than just line. They're a description of everything that you are. They describe your personality, they describe the type of things you will do. So it'll describe if you're adventurous, if you're secretive, if you're, whatever you are. And so there's other lines that are interestingly that tell the story of, in palmistry, they have a love line. They have a lifeline, but they also have illness and children and other things. Now, this is a myth that has survived for the longest time. And if there was no truth to it, I'm pretty sure it would have died down by now, right? Now, you're going to say, how is that going to heal me? Well, it probably won't heal you. It's just to help you understand that your hands are talking to you in hundreds of different ways, and we need to care for them. We need to treat them with respect and we need to honor them, right? I mean, anyone will tell you that someone chewing their nails is someone who's anxious, right? Who's nervous, and that's why they do the nail biting. Right there, that gives you an indication, right? So there's messages. This is our ambassador. Our hands are literally the first thing that usually people will see. This is a way of introducing ourselves. And if you've never looked at people's hands, you should start looking at them now. I, especially after we had, disease and things like that, people went back to being more responsible, washing their hands regularly, because they know that it's a transmission of much more than just messages, right? It can carry things. But this hand washing made people complained because their skin was breaking and their hands were drying up and they were in bad shape. I don't know if that help us become more conscious of our hand and taking better care of our hands, but our hands are our ambassador. But they're also our deepest secrets hidden in. So they reveal so much, right? We're hosting a fair here in Drumheller on September 28 and 29 for a spiritual and metaphysical fair. And we have a person that's going to be reading fingerprints. And so this is based on a method of scientific study and the design of a person's fingerprint. You can, apparently, this is not something I do, but this person will be there and she can tell your life purpose and life lessons from your fingerprint, your palm print, and receive accurate information confirming who you are and the clarity about what you're meant to do. So apparently, our purpose is not just ingrained in our DNA. Now we have Crayon that says we have 12 layers of DNA, and it's not junk DNA. It's DNA that comes from past life that we've carried with us, that carries our karma, that carries our life lessons, that carries our purpose, and all the way to our fingerprints, trying to give us the message, trying to lead the way for us. Now, we're going to talk about the healing part, hands that heal. Hand that heal is a non-invasive healing modality that has its root in an ancient healing practice, such as laying of the hands. It has no connection with religion or any form of faith healing. This modern version of the hands healing was co-developed by the psychic healer Dora Kunz from 1904 to 1999 and the nursing professor Dolores Krieger. She was born in 1935. Now, through lectures and workshop, Krieger taught the technique to more than 5,000 people, including doctors, nurses, and midwives. So it's an offshoot of holistic medicine. It's based on the notion that the body is an energy field. And the field is said to be uniformly smooth in a healthy person, whereas someone with a disease or is in pain has irregularities in their field. So, through intense concentration and practice, the disturbance can be detected and returned to a balanced state. Now, there's a lot of different touch. Therapeutic touch was developed, but there's therapeutic touch, which looks a lot like Reiki, if you ask me, right? It's all the idea of using your hands as a reading and as a transforming of these energy field. So during therapeutic touch, a session with a healer, their palms are placed about 2-3 inches away from you, or 5 to 8 centimeters away from the patient's body, and move in gentle strokes towards the feet. Now, the practitioner might feel heat, coolness, heaviness, pressures, prickling, or tingling sensation. And these sensations are considered clues to pointing at the disturbance. So it's the same idea as Reiki. It's just from a different door, if you will, right? But another one is everybody has heard of massages, right? Massages are becoming more and more used because they're covered by insurance, right? So it doesn't come out of our pocket. And there's a lot of things that if it didn't come out of our pocket, people would line up to go and get because they see the benefit. Massage therapy is obviously most of the time, I would say, with the hands. It's possible that some people use their feet and some people use maybe their elbows if there's big knot, but the idea is contact, right? And massage therapy is a scientific manipulation of superficial or deeper layers of muscles and connective tissue to enhance function and aid in the healing process and promote relaxation and well-being. That's the whole point of these other modalities. It's to help you relax. It's to appease the pain. It's to release what is causing the disease inside of you and letting it go. Writing on massages have been found in many civilizations, including Rome, in Greece, India, Japan, China, and Egypt. While I was visiting Bath in England, went to this hot springs that the Romans had built, And there were tables there that were specifically dedicated to massage. Massage is nothing new. Today's massage is a popular eating modalities, and peer-reviewed medical research has shown that the benefit of massage therapy included pain relief, temporarily reducing blood pressure, and easing states of anxiety and depression. It's a great way to self-care. I go and get a massage every month. That I technically need it or not doesn't matter, because it helps my body be balanced and be, you know, even, and preventing the addition of stress and anxiety that would block these energy, right? There's many types of massage, and there's therapeutic massage involving touch, usually to some degree of pressure. Specialized massage tables and chairs are used to position the client during these massage. A Ayurvedic massage uses a heated blend of herbal oils. An Amna massage, kneading and deep tissue, the Bowen therapy, the gentle rolling movement, the Swedish massage, long flowing strokes, stone massage. I don't know if you've ever had those. You can use cold or hot stones and they deposit that in different areas of your body. And the pressure of the stone and the heat or the coldness of the stone helps release the tension and the pressure that's been built up. There's Thai massages. Edgar Cayce has a specific type of massage that he developed, a technique with the different readings that he collected over the years. And also, later today in a different podcast, we will explore specifically acupuncture massage, shiatsu, Chinese massage, and trigger point therapy. Why? Because it's pressure applied to specific points along the meridian lines. And if someone doesn't like acupuncture because of the needle, you can get the massage, which is done with the thumbs. And the shiatsus are done with the thumb, the fingers, and the palm pressure. The Chinese is pushing, stretching, kneading. And the trigger point therapy is deactivating pain. By manipulation of the hands. So our hands are playing a huge role in our wellness and our health. And it presents information about ourselves, about our emotional state, about our personality. And using the hands can also unlock these pressures inside of our body, realigning energies. It's all based on energy, right? For it to work... That's the only, I guess, caveat, is that there's energy. We're energy beings. We have our own frequency. We resonate. And is that hard to believe? Well, scientifically, this is what I can say. Scientifically, our bodies are made of atoms. Atoms is what, you know, we know there's an atomic bomb, so we know there's a lot of energy in an atom. And we're made of millions of atoms. And these atoms are joining together, and that's creating a cell. Well, eventually, a lot of them will create a cell. And these cells will create our skin, our eyes, or our stomach, or liver. It will build us up into the human being that we are. And so, if we decompose what a human being is, it's made of atoms, so it's made of energy. It's just a condensation of these different atoms make us feel solid, but really, we are energy. And so, if we look at radio waves, if we look at frequency, if we look at how these different things are affected and can be changed through words and manipulation, then we know that this can be valid for us as well. When we are able to put sand on a table and we produce music, the sand will create a form based on the frequency. If the music is disharmonious, then there's no shape that can create itself. But if the music has a rhythm and has a melody to it, it can create a geometric form. So we know that music, sound, affects sand. So it will affect us. In the same way, our hands, in the way that we treat our hands, we're treating our entire body. So I started this video by asking you, look at your hands. Look at your hands again and ask yourself, it could use a little cream, it could use a little massage, it could use a little healing treatment. It's not just your hands that you're healing, it's your entire body. Now, as far as handwriting personalities and fingerprints, I'm not qualified to do any of those things. I do the handwriting, but the point is, all of these indicate that your hands are messengers. And they're messengers telling you exactly how your body is doing right here, right now. So, perhaps today or sometime this week, you'll take a little bit of time just to treat your hands with love. Because if you treat your hands with love, you're treating your entire body with love. Respect your hands and honor your hands, because you're honoring yourself and you're honoring everything that represents you. So it's a little bit of a shorter podcast, but that's what I have to say. I have quite a few viewers on Facebook. If you have any questions, I'm hoping the questions right now. If not, we're going to wrap this one up. And because this was due last year in January and I was sick, later today I will be recording the podcast for the acupuncture. And explaining why is that a great way to reduce stress and reestablish the balance in your body and unblock your qis again. The qis in the alternative medicine become like one of the key factor. So the maps to the meridian is available anywhere. The points along those lines are multiple. There's hundreds of points. But just knowing that if there's a line that goes here and just massaging your line can help you liberate the blockage of energy, then you can take care of yourself and you can manage your pain level without necessarily always resorting to pills. Yes. And that's the whole idea of these podcasts this year. It's trying to manage pain in a different way, in a way that we're not used to. Having suffered from fibromyalgia, the pain is debilitating sometimes, so it prevents you from regular activities and it drains every energy that you have. Every ounce of energy just goes, it seems to create more pain. And over the years, I have been looking at alternatives, because I can't always be on substance that alter my ability to think, because then I can't do these podcasts. I can't write the books I'm writing. I can't function, because the pain takes over my whole life. And so over the years, I have applied a lot of these alternative techniques in order to soothe my pain and maybe get to the root of what is causing the pain. What is blocking this energy or this chi or this meridian or this chakra in order to stay alive, happy and active and pain-free. So we're starting with the hands because it's a great place to start, but stay tuned for the rest of the year and we will be exploring all these different alternatives that can help you manage your own body and your level of pain and your level of consciousness and helping you get to the root of the issues so that you are free. So I thank you for watching and listening, and I will see all of you in about an hour and a half with the acupressure acupuncture. Thank you, and I'll talk to you soon.